Hello, hello, and welcome back to Diva Deep Cuts, and happy Pride! Welcome to season 1.5, our mini-season celebrating drag queens in this happy month of Pride. I am your host, Ben, and I'm excited to journey through their music with all of you. Before we dive right into our mini-season together, I have a couple of announcements to take care of. First off, season 1.5 is meant to just be a little treat. I'm busy preparing season 2 right now as we speak, but I wanted to give a little bridge between seasons 1 and 2. And part of the reason for that is I've decided to change the format. For those who gave a listen to season 1 on Spotify, I was giving reviews of anniversary albums by divas as well as new releases. And to me, that didn't fit the spirit exactly of what I wanted to do, and it also made the episode lengths vary widely depending on how long the albums were. So I've decided instead that from season 1.5 going forward, I am going to curate a list of my top 10 favorite deep cuts from each artist's catalog and count them down 10 to 1. This will provide, hopefully, a more uniform episode length, and it can take a look at an artist's catalog as a whole and how they've evolved their sound and style over time. So to that end, there are some new guidelines, which I am writing more about in the blog, which I will get to in a minute. But beyond the guideline we've already had of singles are not allowed, the way that I will feature artists is that they must have at least either 4 albums worth of material or 60 songs. Some artists now drop a lot of EPs or do longer deluxe versions. So when they hit one of those thresholds, they can qualify for inclusion. And at the opposite end of the catalog size spectrum, what I like to call the Dolly Parton rule, somebody who has 20 or more studio albums will be broken up and across 2 episodes and get a top 10 list for different segments of their career chronologically, because that's far too much music to only pull out 10 songs. Additionally, I will be launching a website. It may not be live when this episode airs, but it should be live within a week to 2 weeks afterward. On that website, there's an email list where you can sign up to get updates directly from me about what's going on with the podcast, when new blog posts are coming, and other exciting details. As well as the blog that I mentioned, there will be a companion post to go with each episode that includes the honorable mentions that didn't make the cut, but I still wanted to highlight because I love them, because again, 10 is always not enough songs. Then there will be, I'm not entirely sure where I'm going to put this yet exactly, there will also be the Forgotten Single. If you sign up for the email list, you will have access to the Forgotten Single clips, where I pick a single that I thought didn't get its day and or isn't remembered well enough now and talk about what I love about it and why and the context around it, as well as a little freebie bonus. And lastly, for each episode, there will be a curated playlist of the top 10 deep cuts, honorable mentions, and the forgotten single on Spotify, maybe also on YouTube. We'll see how ambitious I get. And that is also for you all to enjoy. And that brings me to my last point, which is that the episodes right now are no longer going to have the music integrated between each bit of commentary. I was only able to publish the podcast on Spotify because of the music integration, and I want this to be able to reach as many people who would like to listen on whatever platforms they listen to their podcasts. So I am removing the music. I'm looking at options to make maybe subscriber-only versions to still include the music for people who enjoy that. Or you can use the curated playlist, pause the episode, listen to the song, go back to the episode, and bounce back and forth. that is your choice. But in any case, I just wanted to update everybody on all of the changes that are being made as we move forward. So now, with all of that said, let's dive right in to the first episode of Mini Season 1.5. I had this idea several months ago that I wanted to spotlight the music of drag queens who have made the jump into having sustained recording careers as musicians as well. There are not as many as you think, even though many drag queens have some songs and EPs or video here or there. So we're going to do 3 episodes to fill this warm and sunny month of June. To kick things off, we are starting with Drag Race Mother herself, the one and only RuPaul Charles. I don't know how many of you know this, but RuPaul has a dozen studio albums, or maybe 13. I forget the exact count because I apparently missed one that I thought was a remix album when I was listening through her catalog. But this Pride Month, June of 2023, is also the 30th anniversary of her debut album, Supermodel of the World, when Supermodel You Better Work, her biggest hit single, was riding high on the charts and the video networks in the early 90s. So what better way to get started and transition from the old format to the new than by talking through RuPaul's best deep cuts on the 30th anniversary of her debut album. So without further ado, let's get started. Number 10, Party Train from 1996's Foxy Lady. So for me, this song holds a special place in my heart because it is the first ever RuPaul song that I was aware of, because it comes from my favorite movie of all time, or at least one of them. I have a hard time with rankings because I love things so much sometimes. But that film is But I'm a Cheerleader, starring Natasha Lyonne and Clea DuVall, and RuPaul out of drag. I saw the film in college, and I just absolutely fell in love with it. The story, the soundtrack, the performances, the mixture of comedy and seriousness of the situation. And I was especially impressed because at that time, in the pre-Drag Race days, we did not see RuPaul making public appearances or film appearances out of drag very often. So it was amusing and shocking to me that RuPaul played a character appearing out of drag for the entire film. The song itself is used when, spoilers for the film, you might want to fast forward if you've never seen the film or if you don't care, the son of the homophobic woman running the camp where the characters are sent to is dancing to RuPaul's Party Train while he's supposed to be doing landscaping. And it's implied that her son is closeted, her adult son, by the way, or very least teenage son. The actor did not look like a teenager. He looked like an adult, but that's beside the point. So that's where the song was used. I heard it as part of the unofficial soundtrack to that film, because the soundtrack was never released. There's just about a dozen amazing songs that were used within the film that people have collected together. But for the song itself, it is emblematic of a lot of RuPaul's discography. Most of her songs are for the club, sometimes to the detriment of casual listening from home, where there's just a lot of the sort of call-outs and phrasings that one would hear at a drag ball, and not typical lyrical structure. But Party Train has a typical lyric structure. It's very 90s, it's very house. It's very energetic, and I just had to include it because of my long relationship with the song. You know, it starts off with RuPaul as like the conductor calling for the audience to jump aboard the train, and then it just never stops going until the end. It's very fun, absolutely would get the room jumping, if played in a club, and is just a favorite of mine. Number 9, Miss Lady DJ from Supermodel of the World. So when I was listening through RuPaul's debut album and trying to whittle down which songs resonated with me the most, I wasn't sure exactly which ones might make their way through. I have a whole process of listening to the songs over and over again and really thinking about them to come up with the lists when it's an artist whose catalog I haven't known for years. And I tried thinking which one really stuck with me, but I wasn't sure. There were several that were in contention as I was getting used to this album. But Miss Lady DJ kept getting stuck in my head. Just the pre-chorus that repeats the title of the song over and over was just so catchy. I just found myself wandering around singing that to myself. And I loved the structure. Like, it's a pretty standard dance pop club song in terms of the production. But there's verse, chorus, break. Oh, excuse me. There's verse, pre-chorus, break, chorus. And all of it is just very engaging. The way that it kind of slides back and forth, mixes it up with different spoken ad libs and vocal sung ad libs from RuPaul over top. It helps keep me engaged as a listener. And I just think it's really fun. I feel like it encapsulates everything that can be found on RuPaul's debut album. Again, it's just such a little earworm. And then there's just a little breakdown, a nice instrumental keyboard part in the middle. It's just so, such fun. And I just still, even as I have cycled to other artists to prepare for future episodes, I still find myself randomly singing Miss Lady DJ, DJ, DJ to myself as I wander around the house. Number 8, Lady Cowboy from 2017's American album. So this one was catchy and undeniable to me. I really love the juxtaposition between the sort of electropop production mixed with the Western sounds. It's not full on a country song, but it has influences worked in here and there. But I felt the need to vet this one because the first couple times I listened, I didn't listen to the lyrics that closely in the verses, so I had to sit down and actually read them. Because, as some know, RuPaul has not always been the most sensitive and understanding of the trans experience. And so I wanted to make sure that this song was not part of that. But upon further scrutiny, it's more just a song about a cowboy themed drag queen in a small country town. That is how I interpret the song, and that is what a close reading of the lyrics give to me, that like in my head I picture a country western themed campy video where RuPaul shows up in a small quote unquote one horse town, as mentioned in the lyrics, to watch this drag queen with a country themed act performing and making all these waves in this small town where she lives. So that's my read on the song. If anyone else has different thoughts on that, please let me know. But so once I got past that, I really enjoyed the song. I found it bouncy. I found myself moving along to it every time I would listen to it in comparison to other songs. And I think it's fun, but it also provides something different amongst the club heavy tracks that make up the majority of RuPaul's discography. And that's why I wanted to include it, because it stuck out to me in a good way, in that way, that it was just so different and fun that every time it would come on, I'd get excited to hear it. Number 7, Click Clack Make That Money from 2011's Glamazon. Initially, when I was reviewing RuPaul's catalog, I wasn't sure if anything from Glamazon would even make the cut before I had actually listened to all the songs, because so much of that album were released as singles. So there were only 2 tracks left after I removed all the singles, and initially they were middle of the pack on my initial listens through the many, many non-singles. And this one rose to the top. I just really love the hard-hitting beat. It reminds me of Gwen Stefani's Holla Back Girl, but it's like a drag version. And I especially love RuPaul does a read at the end as the outro of the song, and just brings that in after having a catchy and fun stomper about drag queens going around performing fabulously and making their money, and then decides to just end it with a savage read. Always in great fun. This is another one I can see very sharp choreography to in a performance. And I just love the way that it kind of rolls back and forth. And then they're just the sort of lighter from left field transitions between different points of the song, and is something that, again, is different than most of the rest of RuPaul's discography. Those are the ones that kind of rose to the top for me. For one of the more club-oriented songs to do so, it really had to stand out. Whereas the things that were less club-oriented in terms of like traditional techno synths of what we think of with most gay clubs and circuit parties, things that had different influences stood out to me. And this was one of those. This one was more like a straight up rhythmic pop song. Number 6. Throw Your Hands Up, a duet with Lady Bunny from 2009's Champion album. This is the final track on that record, and when I got there, I was obsessed. This track is a disco thumper that is fabulous, fantastic, and just really sweet and fun. For those who don't know, Lady Bunny and RuPaul have been friends and colleagues for a long time, back before RuPaul really hit it big with Supermodel in the early 90s. They lived and performed in the drag scene together in the 80s in New York City. And so this is a full circle moment for them to record this duet, and it's so much fun. Like, it's a true disco number with the 4 to the floor, beautiful soaring strings and some horns for accents. Just layered, stunning vocals all over the place. And in a lot of cases, I'm not sure if it's just the mixing, but it sounds like Lady Bunny outsings RuPaul. And that's not to shade RuPaul, because RuPaul is a capable and great singer, much as she doesn't get credit for it, for the campy drag-themed music she releases most of the time. But I love this one from top to bottom. So if you're somebody who likes or does not mind disco, I think you'll find this very enjoyable. However, some people have strong opinions against disco music, so this would not be my recommendation to them to add to their personal library or playlists. But if disco is fine and fun to you, it is a fantastic number. It's even one of the longer tracks on here, and yet I never quite get bored, even though the latter part of the song is just repeating the hook over and over as both of them ad-lib over the top and the production kind of swirls around. It never gets old to me. It's still just like a fun journey through the night all the way to the end, and then it just kind of like lands in a nice finish. I'm so glad it's not a fade-out. I think I've talked about this before, but I do not like fade outs. I feel like it is a weird and lazy way to end a song. I would like there to be some sort of definite conclusion. We're not telling some story here. We're not writing the script to Inception with an ambiguous ending. Like, it is a song, and if the song is to be performed live, it will have an ending. It can't just fade out in a live concert. So, anyway, that's my little two cents. That was Throw Your Hands Up, and that concludes the lower half of this top 10. Number 5, kicking off the top half, is Pink Limousine from 2023's Black Butter album. Now, this song captivated me right away. It is a lush R&B mid-tempo with some lyrics about RuPaul's journey to fame and fortune and living their dreams and the life that they always wanted. But the thing that sticks out to me, beyond the personal story in the lyrics, is how much the production reminds me of Prince's Little Red Corvette. It doesn't have the same energy as Prince, but it has the same sound. And given the car-themed title, I feel like the homage is likely intentional. But that's what really drew me in, because I love Little Red Corvette. I love Stevie Nicks' Stand Back, which is a reworking of that. And so this also really grabbed me when I first heard it. And every time on subsequent listens, I still loved it. So this one is just very lush. It's very sweet, but serious at the same time. Really about how the Pink Limousine is a metaphor for going on one's own journey and keeping focused on what you are trying to achieve and that there's no shortcuts to get there. The bridge also has a shout out to all of the forebearers and contemporaries that helped show Rue the way to get to where they wanted to go in their life and career. So it's kind of an introspective give others their flowers moment. So it's also really nice. And as I've mentioned several times already in this episode, a different sort of song amongst RuPaul's wider discography, which is why I love it. Number 4, My Love Sees No Color from Red Hot in 2004. So the first thing that hooked me onto this song was just the I-I-I-O that happens post-chorus throughout the song. It got stuck in my head so much that I just kind of ran around singing that like a chant. The lyrics are still so important nearly 20 years later about how beauty is within. Why can't people see the similarities instead of the differences that cause them to be discriminating and bigoted? And how love, real, true love, sees no color. The fact that it still resonates 20 years later is kind of sad in some respects, but putting it in some historical context, a black gay man who does drag, writing and releasing songs like this in 2004, which is only 1 year after sodomy laws were outlawed by the Supreme Court in the United States, and the temperature in the room was still really hot and contentious around queer rights in this country across the board. This song, which I love for its production, its lyrics, its melodies, even if I take a little bit of issue with how processed the vocals are on the verses, but I found it so catchy and so important at the same time. That whole album is one of my favorites because it was RuPaul famous, but pre-Drag Race levels of fame and influence. And to hear this song and some of the other songs on that record and having been a teenager when this album came out and thinking about the ballsiness of RuPaul to just put himself out there with this record is nothing short of amazing. And it's an important piece of queer history, I think. So I feature some more of the songs from Red Hot in the blog post. So go read about them there and check them out on the playlist. But yeah, this album is in the top three RuPaul albums for me. And this song is my favorite song from that album. Number three, Rubé is Red Hot, from the Netflix series AJ and the Queen. So I listened to the remix of this song that's on the You're a Winner Baby album first, and I thought it was all right. But then I was like, you know what? This was not actually a single. I double-checked RuPaul's discography page on Wikipedia, which is my primary source, just a little trade secret. And despite being sort of the title song of that series, it was not actually promoted as a single to promote the series. So I was like, okay. So then I listened to the original version and not the remix. And I loved it way more than I thought was possible. It was not at all what I expected. And let me explain why. You may be thinking, well, yes, Ben, you love 80s throwback, which we've covered multiple times today and will continue to cover. So, of course, you like this one, but that's not the full part of the story. I listened to this and immediately was like, this sounds like a Pointer Sisters song. And the Pointer Sisters are very special to me because they were one of the two groups growing up in my family that all four of us agreed upon. Like, each of the members of my immediate family and I have slightly different but some overlapping music tastes, but Eurythmics and the Pointer Sisters were the two that all four of us could agree on, and so we played them a lot growing up. So when I heard this song, I was like, it sounds like it could come right off of the Pointer Sisters breakout album. I love it so much. I don't care that it's RuPaul singing as a character from a Netflix show. I love it. I have to include it. So then it just became a matter of like, okay, now how does it stack up against the rest of the songs that I want to include? And so when I sat down and thought about it, I was like, this has to be near the top. I just love it so much. It would be great also for an aerobics class because of the high beats per minute. So you have all the elements, the 80s staccato synths, the saxophone solo, the wall of background vocals, the high energy that make it sound straight out of the best of the Pointer Sisters discography, just with RuPaul on lead vocals, who I guess doesn't sound that different than the deep-voiced Ruth Pointer in some ways. And actually, that makes me... I forgot. When Ruth Pointer was on The Masked Singer as the Cupcake, some people thought that she might have been RuPaul from her first performance. I forgot about that until just now. So, yeah, it's all full circle, and I just love this song so much. Number two, Super Sexy Lady from You're a Winner, Baby, the 2020 album from RuPaul. So, as some of you know, those who listened to season one, I am a sucker for 80s throwback production, and this is that from beginning to end. I cannot sit still when this song plays. I was lip-syncing for my life as I was listening to the song before recording this segment, because I just love this song so much. It's such a fun song to strut to. It has such a positive message, and it shows some growth in RuPaul's understanding of the trans experience and relationship to the trans community, especially in verse two, which I already adore the production and the emotion and attitude of this song. But when I heard the second verse, I loved it even more. Witnessing, validating the experience of somebody going through all the steps and all the trials to be their authentic self is captured so well in those four lines that I just love it so very much. I have a whole side rant about we shouldn't cancel people who do put in the effort to try and grow and gain a better understanding and make amends. So I won't go into that here, but I think that that second verse does show growth and a little humility on RuPaul's part, given the mid-2010s sour notes that they hit with the trans community. And I think this song is an olive branch to show that Ru has changed and is trying to do better. Number one, the moment you've all been waiting for. My favorite RuPaul deep cut is Fly Tonight, featuring Frank Music from the 2014 album Born Naked. This production and construction of this song gives me goosebumps every time I listen to it. Not because it's the most profound thing I've ever heard. It's just so earnestly emoted and so grand and epic in production that it just captivates me every time. There's the lyric, which I might botch slightly, that is, "Losers find love up among the clouds," which is just very emotional to me. And then there's just something electric about the pre-chorus when it feels like, I don't know, it feels like you're waiting on the runway for takeoff with the low, "Take me up." And the production just has this expansive, breezy feeling, and you're standing with a tailwind behind you getting ready to take off, and then it explodes into the chorus, which feels like doing cartwheels in the sky. And I just adore this song so much. I don't care that it sounds like so many other songs that were produced in the early 2010s around the same time. If anything, the fact that RuPaul chooses to make music that sounds like it could fit in with what's on the radio, even if radio is very unwilling to play drag queens of any age at any point in time so far, is fantastic to me. And I just feel empowered and emotional every time I listen to this one. So that is why it is the top of my list and my personal choice for RuPaul's best deep cut. We have come to the conclusion of my curated selection of RuPaul's best deep cuts. Please let me know on the comments on the blog or on comments on my social media what you thought. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Are you think they're ones that I missed or that should be revisited again? Please let me know. And speaking of social media, you can find me at Diva Deep Cuts on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter, where I will post information about episode releases, fun videos promoting each one, as well as the occasional behind-the-scenes look. I promise my setup is not that exciting. But RuPaul is probably the most famous drag queen in the world. Definitely the most rich and successful and has opened the doors for so many drag queens to come after her that now we have drag queens touring and playing theaters and concert halls instead of gay dive bars. Like, if there wasn't RuPaul, there wouldn't be Trixie Mattel, Bianca Del Rio, Katya Zamolochkova, Alaska. There wouldn't be any of those people with the platforms that they have, not without working two to three times as hard as they already did to build those platforms for themselves. So it was important to me to kick off Pride Month, kick off the new format, and celebrate the anniversary of the beginning of RuPaul's recording career with this episode, and I hope you enjoyed. So, don't forget, DivaDeepCuts.com will be launching soon, where you can sign up for my email list to receive regular updates and exclusive free bonus content, as well as to read the blog posts that correspond with each episode, and find the playlists and bonus content of forgotten singles all there. I look forward to seeing you over there, and thank you for joining me for this journey.